Welcome to the Keeping the Dream Alive podcast brought to you by Torch Technologies. In this podcast, you will learn about all things Torch, from its history to its culture, employee ownership, commitment to the warfighter, our community involvement, and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and stay connected with Torch by following us on all your social media platforms. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoy the Keeping the Dream Alive podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Keeping the Dream Alive podcast. Today, I sit down to talk with Bill Rourke, co-founder of Torch Technologies. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm looking forward to continuing our conversation regarding the Tugboat Institute and address their fifth P of paced growth today. The Tugboat Institute defines paced growth as having the discipline and focus on long-term strategy, balancing short-term and long-term performance, and to grow steadily and consistently year from year. I want to address the first part of this definition, which is the long-term strategies for success. What strategies did you put in place in 2002 to best achieve the goals you had for Torch in the long term, and when it's very easy to look at the short-term growth?
Yeah, paced growth is something that's been with us since the very beginning. In the first few years, we're sort of trying to figure out whether we wanted to be a growth company or a lifestyle company. Every year when we do our strategic planning, one of the first things I'd ask everybody in the room, okay, guys, what do we want to be when we grow up? Are we going to be a growth company or a lifestyle company? We have long conversations about that. And over a period of maybe 3, 4, 5 years, I asked that question, and you know, it doesn't get asked anymore because we've sort of learned that we are a growth company. We really don't know how to not grow, that we're always focused on trying to grow, but we're not a growth at all cost company. We've typically set a goal to be around 20% growth a year, and sometimes we've achieved more than that, and sometimes a little less. Typically, I don't think we've ever gone below 10%, and that I would be talking about in terms of stock price in a year. And that's really what we're driving for, is to increase the stock price each year for the employees and the employee ownership and create the value for the employees. So we've managed to try to grow the stock and the company, because they are highly correlated, around 20% a year since those early years. And early on, it's really interesting because I used to sort of drive those conversations without a lot of input from folks. And then I learned it was better to, as a management style improved, I learned it's better to seek and get input from other folks. And so a few years in, after we were doing this, I was saying 20% every year, and the management team was telling me, are you crazy? That's next to impossible to do. So we had a consultant come in, and she just had us all do a roll-up, all the individual organizations do a roll-up. And when we finished, all of them had done their predictions, and we had rolled up a growth goal of around 45%. And of course, my immediate reaction was, well, no way we're signing up to 45%. But ironic that that year we grew about 45%, which started to demonstrate to our folks that they knew how to forecast and how to plan. But we've typically shot for 20%. The 45% was a good example of a year when contracts lined up. It's not always within our control because the government contracts and the awards will line up and sometimes fall on top of each other. So you may have one year that's 40 and then the next be below 20, but the average over the 20 years has been pretty close to 20%. It ran higher than that early, but it was a little easier to grow earlier in terms of percentage-wise because the growth needed to grow 20% was a smaller piece, but now we continue to shoot maybe not for 20% as much anymore as 10 or 15, although I think we have continued to exceed the average company out there by a great deal of margin. And we continue to do that, again, focused on the stock price. But that's been our history. We've planned very rigorously around steady pace growth. A couple years, we got ahead of that. Every time we've had a major customer issue, it's when we greatly exceeded our growth goal. And so we consciously try to pace that growth. In fact, we passed a big bid this year that we probably could have had a really good chance on, but the growth was just getting beyond what we thought we could manage. And we don't want to kill our admin staff and kill our people in terms of, and chase too much. We need to have a life to go along with the growth of the company.
Yeah. The second part of this, of the definition that Tugboat Institute gives for paced growth includes short-term performance. I think it can be difficult to think about those long-term goals, but then really being in the day-to-day. How do you ensure that those short-term achievements match your long-term goals and they're able to kind of drive that needle towards what that long-term vision is for Torch?
One of the things we do that I think is unique to us, maybe not unique, but is special about us, I'm sure there are other companies that do this. Everyone looks at a five-year strategic plan, but I guess about 10 years ago now, we really started focusing on a two-year plan with a five-year goal in mind. And that really sets down the pace of the pragmatic innovation, because then you can start to make the short-term plans. What am I going to do this year and next year? And actually structure those goals such that you can have a list of goals you're going to accomplish. One of the things we learned early is we couldn't make too big a list. Well, we can make a big list, but we couldn't do them all at once. So we started ranking them in order, and then we'd work on them five at a time. And then as that one went, got accomplished, we'd step down. Some good examples of the pragmatic innovation toward growth. You know, we've known when we're going to bid a big bid that needs an upgrade to the accounting system or an upgrade to an ISO certification or a software certification that we don't have today. We go ahead and start making those investments 2-3 years in advance so that we not only have those in place, but we have them in place at a level that we're confident that we can execute when the program's awarded. And that's helped us in the short-term performance. To wait till the last minute and try to do those things all as a new contract's rolling out, just end up in frustration and poor performance. And one of the things we've been really good at is being prepared, and when the contract rolls out, we're ready to go. You know, we've had some challenges in the last few years. We've had some really big contract wins and some major challenges with infrastructure growth, but we were planning in advance for those. And then we were able to make corrective changes when our plans didn't exactly work out. Of the seven P's, this is one that goes most unheralded, but it's probably one of the ones we do the best.
Yeah. And the last part of their definition, I think, can honestly maybe be the toughest part. You mentioned a little bit of it earlier in the first question, but it addresses the consistency year over year. It can be like some of the hardest things because you're thinking just trying to be alive now, especially in those early years. How is that over the last 20 years? How do you think that Torch is able to continue that success that they've had this long and achieve that same success 20 plus years in the future?
Well, I can think of several times throughout the history of Torch where we were lining up big bids or bids, and the shifting of how the government moved them around, they may end up falling on top of each other. Probably one of the early decisions we made, we had, I don't remember the exact contract that lined up. It may have been AMCOM Express or another bid, and one of those and SeaTac lined up at the same time, and we had to make a choice because we just weren't big enough to bid both of them at the same time. And if we won them both at the same time, we probably weren't big enough to be able to execute them without some difficulty. And since a lot of our contracts, once you win them, require you to compete task orders afterwards. And so we made a good choice. SeaTac as a program eventually went away. So not choosing SeaTac turned out to be a reasonably good choice. But we have done that. We did that, as I mentioned earlier, we did that again just a few months ago in terms of we had some big bids lining up that we could have bid and had to make a choice. If we stretch too big, we're going to create a situation where the culture that we've known to come to love and be a part of Torch would get stretched so thin that it would interrupt people's lives and put us at risk of performance on both of the programs. So we chose one and moved forward with it. There's also other challenges related around those in terms of the business. If you add too much at one time, it's not as much of an issue for us now as it was early in the company. If you add too much at one time, you can get into a cash flow situation where the Small Business Administration cites it's a number two reason that businesses fail. At least this was the case when we started the company 20 years ago. Was not because they weren't profitable. It was that they couldn't manage their cash flow properly. They might be making a lot of money, but if they're not getting paid in time to make payroll, it creates a lot of issues, and a lot of businesses fail due to that. So when we add 100 employees, we have to pay those employees for 60 to 90 days before we get reimbursed for the government. So it's a big cash drain on the company. Like I said, that's not such a big deal now at the size we are, percentage-wise, but in the early days, it was a big deal. In fact, one time we started growing so fast, we had to go get outside investors because we just couldn't borrow enough money to keep up. And the problem with going and getting outside investment is that, you know, that's investors you have to buy back at a future date at a higher price. And so that's not always an optimum thing. And of course, y'all, those of you been around here a long time, remember when we bought all the external investors out in 2011 and when we went to be 100% ESOP. So,
like you said, I think the idea of pace growth, it's not the prettiest thing, but it's one of those things that it's boded so well for Torch over the years and will continue to bode well for them moving forward. I mean, it's not something that you can just stop, this idea, this mentality of it, because you're going to have long-term goals that you have now that you start that are going to be achieved in 15, 20 years that you're going to have to work every day, every quarter to achieve.
And I think one of the things we've done the best with this is not just the growth of the company and the bidding of contracts that we've, with the two-year, five-year plan that we've routinely done, the two-year being highly focused. We know what's going to happen in the next 2 years. So, for instance, we got the software certifications we needed to bid the contracts down at Eglin in place before those contracts came up for bid. Had we not had those, we wouldn't have been able to bid those contracts. And it turns out we were one of two companies in the U.S. that was able to bid those contracts, put us in a very good position to win. Had we not done that, you know, we would have defaulted into letting the other company just win. You know, we've done that with ISO certification. We've done it with accounting system upgrades. You see us doing it with Freedom now. We're putting software in place that lets us manage more than we have now so that we'll be ready as our new buildings come online that we're building later this year.
I mean, like you said, there's so much happening. There's so much growth happening. And you kind of have to be at the right time at the right place. Because if you're not ready for those new things to happen down the road, it's just going to be really tough now. And so it's interesting just to see that the perspective you have being 20 plus years or going on 21 now, I guess, into Torch. So it's super exciting to see. Thank you so much for chatting with me today about this principle of pace growth within the Tugboat Institute and what it means to Torch. If you're listening and you want to find out more about the Tugboat Institute, you can visit their website, tugboatinstitute.com today. And you can also visit Torch's website if you're interested in finding out more information about Torch at torchtechnologies.com. Thank you so much for being here.
And of course, we're always looking for you to help us keep the dream alive.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Keeping the Dream Alive podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen and stay connected with us on social media for news and updates surrounding the company. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoyed it.